Welcome to Crooners and Coffee Shops, everyone. My name is Heather. Today I have Morgan Keller here to talk about a new single called Old Habits, as well as her EP Glitter and Gold that she also recently released. Morgan, we would love to hear a little bit about how you got started in music.
Yeah, of course. So a little bit of background on me. Little me was really into musical theater. I feel like a lot of performers start there. It's like a great way to kind of figure out what you like, music, acting, that kind of stuff. And yeah, I started out musical theater, did that for a little bit. But then when I was like 13, finally got my own guitar. I was like begging for it for my birthday. And yeah, so that's like my first kind of teaching myself how to play through like GarageBand and stuff like that. And looking up to songwriters like Taylor Swift, like when I was that young, and just trying to emulate her songs when I was, you know, like 12, 13. I always loved like pop music growing up. So that kind of led to my transition out of musical theater, although maybe one day I'll go back. And yeah, so then when I was starting high school, I started taking vocal lessons, which like completely helped, you know, me hone my craft, and was taking instrumental lessons on guitar mostly, and then piano. And it's funny because I really don't play much guitar anymore because it hurts my fingers. And I feel like ever since I learned music theory, it's way easier to see on like the keyboard. So I kind of transitioned over to that in college. But yeah, I was taking like lessons in high school, but really only to aid my songwriting process. But singing was like always the main thing. Yeah. And then I went to college at NYU. So I studied in New York, studied music business, but we did have like music core classes. So that's really where I started honing my songwriting skills. I studied with Dana Calitri, who's an amazing songwriter. She wrote for Daughtry, a lot of like pop rock. So that was like perfect for me because I had a background in both and I always wanted to like figure out how to combine them. And then I graduated and I realized I kind of wanted to be in LA. So I moved out here. Literally, we're approaching like 2 months now, so it's been great. So very new to LA.
Woo! Well, welcome. Arms are open wide.
Yay!
We can't wait to suck you into the music scene here.
Yes, I'm ready.
Woo! Take me. my body is ready. Just take me.
No, for real. I played my first live show two nights ago. In LA. And I was like, okay, when am I doing this again? Like, it needs to happen.
Oh, you caught the bug.
Yeah, especially because, like I said, I started in the performance space. And it's interesting, like, meeting a lot of people in college and just seeing their experience. A lot of artists that I met, like, kind of started in the studio space. And so it was, like, opposite, where they had to now figure out how to do a live show. But for me, it was completely opposite. Like, had been performing the song from the EP like throughout and just had no recordings of them. And I was like, wait, this sucks, because I would play shows and people would be like, I love that. Like, where can I listen? And I was like, not yet, soon. Yeah.
Woo! Well, I mean, we'll get into your EP in a second. But first, you've got a new single coming up called Old Habits.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like, I'm sure you feel this way with COVID, like time just doesn't exist. So
it's still March 2020 for me.
Yeah, it's bizarre because I literally was going to say, I apparently wrote this song in May of 2020. I looked back because it's funny. It started out on TikTok, which is crazy because I joined TikTok like around that time, maybe like April of 2020, like right when I got sent home from school. And yeah, I started writing Old Habits one night at like 3 a.m., literally out of the sheer fact of, oh my God, we're here and I have nothing to do and I should be writing right now. And I just felt like there was so much pressure on my songwriter friends and artist friends. We kind of talk about this, just everyone feeling like, oh my gosh, I have no excuse now. I have to be super productive. But obviously, mental health factors like into being able to write well. So yeah, I started writing that, and then I had like no followers at the time on TikTok, and I just posted it because I was like, oh, I don't know. I just wrote this, like, let's see how it does. And at the time, I think I got like 70 likes, which was big because I didn't have any followers. So it was like new people. And I was like, wow, okay, this is it. So then, yeah, I started working on it, but it's been so, so, so long. So it is like a weird journey. And I'm excited to talk about it with you because I feel like I haven't revisited it. And it's just been like, where was this song? Because my manager's like, oh, like, tell me about this because we're like doing press stuff. And I was like, oh my God, what is this song about? Like, I know it, but it's just like a little bit what happened during COVID.
Exactly. What did happen? Oh, gosh. Well, we're excited for the release of Old Habits. Yes. And would you like to give us like a little sneak peek on what listeners should expect lyrically and instrumentally?
Yeah, so it really was kind of directly inspired by COVID and just sitting in your room and having so much time to think. And, you know, obviously everyone's isolated, so you're feeling lonely and have the time to like pick yourself apart. You know, like I would say at the surface level, the song is about when you're drunk or late at night, when you kind of are like wanting to do the things that you normally wouldn't do because you're like, oh, like, let's do it. I don't know. Let's text this person. Let's reach out. So in like on the baseline level, it's about drunk texting your ex and like realizing that you may think you're over them, but there's always that kind of thing of going back to it. But on a deeper level, I think it really touches on like my battle with like perfectionism and being super isolated and just kind of realizing these things about you. Like I went through, I think, and we'll talk more, but like on the EP, it was very much like a self-love journey. So I was like coming off of that, but then kind of learning, like unlearning these bad things that I would do. So it was kind of being confronted with that, like, oh, I thought I already worked through this. I thought that I was past this. But then you kind of realize that a lot of those things are super like ingrained into your mind. And you're like, oh, I need to work on that.
Yeah, I feel like COVID was that time where people really sat down and kind of figured their shit out. Kind of like what you're saying, almost like a self-realization, like, whoa, I do all these specific things and maybe I shouldn't. And I hope that pandemic and COVID like was a growth period for a lot of people.
Totally. I can attest to that. Yeah, it's definitely because, you know, your vices are gone and you're just like with yourself and you're like, okay, what do we have to work on here?
The only person that you have is yourself at that point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to go into your EP, Glitter and Gold, Woo Glitter, you released that during the pandemic, kind of touched base on it like a little bit. But yeah. I wanted to ask you, how would you say that like the recording and marketing aspects have been similar or different between your upcoming single, the EP, and also your 2019 single?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, it's so interesting because like, well, it was the first EP I've ever put out. So it was like a learning curve all around, I think, for me. I think the response to this question would be way different if I had already gone through the whole process of putting out an EP, not in a pandemic. But like, this is kind of all that I've known, but obviously had released a single prior to it. I think the hardest part for me and the biggest difference was the live factor of it, you know, because you work so hard on this thing. And like, I live in the live space, not that I don't like being in the studio, but like, I know some people that are just like, I'll stay here forever. I don't want to play this live. This is not really my thing. Like, I just want to sit and make music in a room alone. That's not my thing. I love obviously recording, but the process is definitely a little bit different. And with COVID. So basically with the EP, I started recording it in the summer of 2019. So I started recording it and it was in person and I had done all the sessions and I was working with a producer at the time who was based in Brooklyn. And I was like back home in New Jersey at my parents' house. And I was just like going into the city and doing sessions and stuff like that. And then we kind of already had a setup where, because I would only come in for the session, it would be like a lot of back and forth. Like, he would send me stuff and I would listen to it, take notes, send it back, because there wasn't a point of me going in and giving him notes in person. It was just like more time efficient. So I was already kind of used to that process. And then, yeah, I think we got most of the recording done before COVID. And then I went out to LA last March, like right before COVID hit. And so that's why I had to get back here. But I was on like a semester away. They had like opened this program. So yeah, we had already been communicating like that anyway. And so yeah, it was, thankfully with the EP, it was fine. And then I think the last track that we worked on was New York Sleeps Alone. And I recorded that in December, right before I left for LA. Sorry, my brain is like all over with time, but I hope that makes sense.
We have no concept of time anymore, so.
I know. I'm like, wait, what? 2019, 21? What is going on? So yeah, the EP was recorded in person. That recording process was pretty normal. But with the single, it was not super different, because it was the same people I had worked with. It was my friend. So the one that produced Old Habits, his name is Breed. He's an artist, songwriter in his own right. He is so talented. And so he had his home studio, like in his apartment. And in terms of the marketing, like releasing the EP in the pandemic, it did suck a little bit, just because I really wanted to do a live show, because I had never played these songs live in its entirety. And like, I just finished it and I was like, I'm not going to put this off. Like, I had been working on it since 2019, like I said. So yeah, I just put it out into the world, and TikTok really became the main form of marketing. Before then, I had tried, like with my other singles, I was trying to do a lot of like Facebook ads, Instagram ads, stuff like that. And really new to putting out music and finding out, like I was doing playlisting and stuff like that, and worked with like a few playlisting/marketing companies. But like, to me, none of them really worked that well, because the listeners were so like all over the place. Spotify numbers kind of don't indicate real engagement and real fans, because, you know, just because you hear a song on a playlist doesn't mean you're going to go to their concert or you're going to be able to monetize those fans. So I found that the song from the EP that did well on TikTok was Sympathy. And it was funny because I think it was just because I wrote it literally like in like 2018, but like, I don't think the other songs on the EP I thought would do better, but like, everyone loves Sympathy. And I just posted it on TikTok one day. I was like getting frustrated with TikTok initially, because I felt like the algorithm wasn't helping me and it was really hard and I was getting discouraged. And then I was like, you know what? I just dance in my bathroom anyway. Like, let me just dance in my bathroom to Sympathy. Cause I had a friend that told me, who is not in music at all, she listened to it and she was like, this is the one. And I was like, what? Like, are you sure? And she was like, no, I swear to God, like, this is the one. And so I had that in the back of my brain. I was like, you know what? Let's test her theory. Like, let's do it. And it was the one that people connected with most, which I think is cool. So I guess if I learned a lesson, is kind of, it is good to have outside feedback, because when you're in it and you're the artist, like everything's so personal and you get attached to certain songs. Because like, for me, I was like, oh, the story of Sympathy to me wasn't like super significant. There were other songs that I felt like the story was more powerful, but it's just like whatever people resonate with. Like, it was just really cool. So TikTok definitely did well on the algorithm with that one. It didn't blow up, but I gained a lot of new fans. So that was enough for me. And it's great, because I feel like throughout this time, I've really been able to garner a sense of community. Even, it's weird, like even though we're all online, I would go live every night and it was just kind of like really being able to talk to everyone like one-on-one, like this set. So it just felt like a really good space. And I've heard from a lot of fans that they're just really happy that I was doing that, because it like let them have a space to just escape life, but also talk about like their issues. And they were like, homemade therapy, because that's a line from Sympathy. So it was great. It was really great. So TikTok has been for sure like the main marketing strategy so far.
Yeah, I can't even imagine the amount of stress and anxiety that goes into like trying to put a single out and try to get radio airplay and have a blow up and everything. So kudos to anybody, whether you're a songwriter or a musician, seriously, it's a lot.
Really, it is.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you a fun question.
Yes.
If you could choose three artists to go on a world tour with, who would you choose and what would you name your tour?
Okay. So in an ideal world, like I think that I would want Miss Taylor Swift headlining. Like, girl, it's fine. I don't need to headline. I will open for you. Like, she's the headliner, or maybe co-headliners. It's like, so Taylor Swift, and then I definitely would love to tour with Paramore for sure. Like, all-time favorite. I mean, they're just like one band that I will always love, but you might not listen to their music all the time. But then I go back and revisit and I'm like, oh my God, like the self-titled and like, oh my, After Laughter. I'm like, okay. So I definitely would love those two. And then an artist that I recently really got into and taken a lot of inspiration from is Upsal. I love her. I'm seeing her with Olivia O'Brien at the Fonda and I'm really excited. She's been really cool. I think before I was like kind of worried about dipping into the rock world because it's something I had always wanted to do and something that I'm excited about to do with Old Habits. But seeing her do that successfully, I'm like, okay, she did it. I can do it. So yeah, those are my three.
Cool. And do you have an idea of what you would name your tour?
I don't know. I kind of want to name it Self Love Club or something. Like,
oh my gosh.
Right?
Oh my gosh, the merch would be adorable.
I feel like it would be really cute, honestly.
I just imagine like these really cute like crew sweaters that say Self Love Club on there. Oh my God.
I love it.
2022. Okay, it's going to happen. Manifestation. We put it out into the world.
No, I love it.
So as a female artist, do you feel that women in the music industry have to portray themselves in certain ways in order to be successful?
I think that's a really good question. I think it's something that I definitely have thought about a lot and have questioned, I think. And also, you know, speaking of Taylor Swift, I was like rewatching her documentary. It was, Miss Americana. And she was just talking about how female artists have to like reinvent themselves like 20 more times than like a male artist does. And I really think that it does affect it in that I do notice that, especially on TikTok, you know, like men can do well in the music industry and look pretty average. Like they don't have to have a super unique brand or look really attractive. Like there's no like set formula unless you're going for that. But it's like, as an artist, I definitely have been like noticing, you know, some people really do rely on their attractiveness to like gain popularity. And there's so many examples and it is frustrating. And so then you think like, okay, if I can't pull that off, then maybe my thing is I have to do this. And I really do think that it is like my friend and I were just talking about this. I was doing like a boosted post on Instagram or something. And like all of the mean comments that I had gotten were only about my looks. Like no one was like saying anything about the music. It was just all about my looks. And it's just interesting because it's like, I've never seen on my guy friend, artist, songwriter page, like no one ever makes fun of or brings up their looks. So I think that's definitely a difference that I've noticed. But I do see a positive change. Like I'm so happy that artists like Lizzo exist. And that's kind of part of my mission as well, like trying to be the artist I wish I had when I was growing up.
Yeah, but at least you're getting people that are genuinely like in love with your music. And sometimes that's all that matters.
Exactly. It's so honestly really rewarding, like just having more of that one-on-one intimate relationship. And on the days where I'm kind of just like feeling beaten down about it and like, oh my God, I'm so stressed. I just want this to do well. The fans are a good reminder of like, this is why you're here. And we are supporting you because we believe in you. But it's definitely a good reality check. And I really try to do things that like show them that I really care. And like, I did like a cute little pre-save thing, and I just wrote their letters, and like I'm sending them out today, and it's cool that I get to kind of connect with them in that way. So I'm fortunate that I have the time to do that, because if I had way more people, it would be like less intimate for sure.
Yeah. And if you could give your younger self any advice in regards to what you've experienced within music or within life, what advice would you give her?
I would give her a hug, first of all. Like, I would just be like, stop being so hard on yourself. And I would really reaffirm that this is your path and this is what you're meant to do. And just like, I would just tell her to try and block out other people's opinions of you and know that you have to do it for you and the rest will come. And also just be nicer to yourself. Like, have fun. Stop worrying about the way you look and what people think about you, and like experiment with your style. Like, do just have fun. Just stop being so hard on yourself. I think that would just be my main message.
Yes. It's a message that unfortunately a lot of people have trouble telling themselves. It's like such an easy concept, but also hard at the same time.
Yeah, it's definitely easier said than done. I talked about this a lot with the EP, because that was all about self-love, but it's just like, even the little things that I used to think were so cheesy, but maybe that's another thing I would say, like the things that people are saying to you when you're rolling your eyes, like they're true. They're actually true. So maybe you should listen to them. I honestly don't even know if she would listen to me now. Like, I hope she would. But when you're in that mindset, like no one else can convince you. And that's the hard part, is you really have to change your mentality on it. Like, you have to be willing to make those changes. And it's hard, and a lot of people don't want to do it, but it is rewarding in the end, because you just exist. You're not worried. You're not stressing all the time. You're just kind of like in the moment, and you're happier and you're more authentic, and it's just better.
Yes, yes. And what do you hope that your audience will take away from your music?
Well, I hope that they take away that we're all kind of living the same life, you know? And I think that it's really great to hear from my current audience. Like, a lot of people have said that I've created a space that makes them feel safe to be themselves. So I really hope that new listeners take that away as well. And they feel like it's a safe space to express your emotions. And I just hope that they relate. I think they can. And it's cool to hear how people relate in different ways. But I hope that they can also have fun, like go on a drive, blast it. The song is yours now. So go make some memories, cry in your bedroom, scream in your bedroom.
All the things, all the emotions.
Yeah.
The entire spectrum of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Go from angry to happy.
Yeah, on the first listen experience, like this emotion, on the second one, get a little angry, like go through the whole thing.
Hey, it just means that we're human.
Yes.
We can feel all of these, then we are doing exactly something right in our life.
Yeah, no, emotions, I mean, that's another takeaway too. I hope they realize that like being in touch with your emotions is a strength. Because I know a lot of people don't, but I hope I'm encouraging them to feel their feelings and they're valid. I'm guilty of invalidating my own feelings. So it's just like, you just have to let yourself feel it.
Yeah. So to kind of end off the interview portion, what other big exciting things should we be expecting from you in the near future?
That is a great question. One that I am still trying to answer myself, but I'm hoping, well, I know for sure I'm having a lyric video come out, so I'm excited about that. And yeah, I'm definitely in the process of finding new collaborators and just trying to network and meet people and do that. But with this single, there will be a lot of TikToks made. I have TikTok trend ideas that I am going to try and work out. But yeah, I'm hoping to book more live shows as well, like in September, October. So stay tuned on that. I don't have anything definite, but like I am definitely on the hunt for a new gig.
Woo! Any venues in LA that are listening, hit up Morgan.
Hit me up. That's how the venue or the show that I just played, I played with Breaking Sound, and they were so great. They approached me and I was like, wow, a show just fell into my lap. And it was like around the time of the release. I was like, this is just working out.
The universe was providing for you.
Yes, thank God.
Yeah. And where can everybody find you online?
So you can follow me on Instagram at Morgan Keller Music, and my handle is the same for TikTok, Morgan Keller Music. Those are my two main social media platforms. And then you can find my music on all streaming platforms everywhere. Yeah, those are like my main two things. And oh, I will be coming out with merch. That is an exciting thing. I'm excited because I designed it myself. So I'm like feeling like a girl boss. So yeah, look out for that. I will definitely, if you follow my socials, I'll be making announcements about that.
Woo, we love merch. And to get into our coffee shop appreciation portion, you're going to be introduced to a lot of good coffee now that you're here in LA. I'm sure yes. New York has really good coffee too, but LA's better. We're biased.
Yes, love it. No, I do notice that like, it is a little bit more of a thing here. I feel like New Yorkers just like need coffee just to like get through the day, like as an energizing thing. But I think it's like an experience here.
Ooh, I never really thought about it, but maybe that's why we love to hang out in coffee shops. Yeah, I have one in Sherman Oaks. I wanted to shout out. It's called Tortoni Cafe. Okay, so when you walk in, they have this really cool chandelier and it almost looks like these glass tentacles or like swirly ornaments. That's so descriptive. I'm great at describing things.
I love it. I'm all about the aesthetics. Like it's an experience for me. Like, I don't know if you're into astrology, but I'm a Libra and we're all about aesthetics. So mm-hmm. Like you're describing this and I'm like, I'm going right now.
Woo! Yeah, they have a really good coffee menu. I got this like iced golden maple latte and I'm like a maple fiend. Like I was probably Canadian in a past life because I love maple so much. My future in-laws were in town and we took the mini golf and it was like pretty close. So yeah, shout out to you, Tortoni in Sherman Oaks. Morgan, do you have any cafes or coffee shops here or in New York that you'd like to shout out?
I'm trying to think because I've definitely seen a few here that have been in New York. So I feel like to me, I don't know if they're huge chains, but like, I think it's, is it Blue Bottle? Have you heard of
Blue? Oh yeah, Blue Bottle.
Yeah, I've definitely been there in New York. So to me, it's like, it feels like home because I've been before and it's definitely nice to see them here. So shout out to them. I really have not explored coffee shops enough. It's funny because I used to be a barista, but I'm not a coffee drinker really. I'm mostly like a tea drinker, but all of the coffee shops have great tea as well. But yeah, I'm definitely on the lookout.
Yeah. Well, Morgan, it was awesome getting to chat with you.
Yes, yeah, same with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And we hope that you are having a great transition here to the West Coast. and we hope that you're staying safe and healthy. And as well to our listeners, stay safe out there, everybody, and stay caffeinated.